everyone to the last JCSD1 school board meeting for 2022. Seems like just yesterday I welcomed everybody to the first board meeting. And I'd like to also welcome our newly elected board members to their first board meeting. They had their first work session on Wednesday, and then they spent most of the day on a orientation on Friday. So they're getting up to speed, I hope. The board always thanks and welcomes those in attendance, as well as attended via streaming or listening through 307.net. Are we streaming? Yep. Okay, great. Of course, you all know cell phones, conversations. If you need to, please step outside. We'd appreciate it. At this time, would you please stand and join with me in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If my voice seems a little gravelly, I have had the bug here for a while, so I hope it holds out. We're up to roll call right now. Kristen Ledoux, she's joining us for as long as she can via the via her phone, just because she has family obligations tonight. And then Randy, they are on call because of the impending storm that may or may not hit. Before that, Mr. Oski, I want to thank you for doing all you did today, keeping us in the loop about what's going on. I know you on first name basis with the Wyoming weather people, so but we do appreciate that to be
maybe not a positive basis, but
I'm glad we are being proactive instead of reactive, and I do appreciate that.
Well, and with that, so I appreciate that, but the weather's so unpredictable.
Mother Nature,
please understand. Yes. You will receive a text before 5 in the morning on which direction we are headed. But appreciation to the admin team; they put a lot of work in today to get prepared. So we'll find out what tomorrow morning brings.
You know, I want to take just a minute. Everybody grab their name plate and have it forward. You know, on our work session, all of our principals were going through their mission and vision statements. And for our new people and even for myself, I'd like to just go through our mission statement. And remember, our mission statement is why we are here, why are we are doing what we're doing. It's not just fancy words that we keep up on the wall, but these are things that we believe and we want, that it's important, and why we are here. So our mission, and then the mission can change and probably will change soon. But right now, our mission is Johnson County School District Number 1 collaborates with our communities to graduate every student with the information, confidence, responsibility, and skills to be prepared for college, career, and the workforce. And then they talked about vision. I loved what Mr. Anderson said. It's our dream. It's what we hope someday to accomplish, but it's our dream and what we want to do. And our vision, Johnson County School District Number 1 guarantees a learning environment where every student grows every day in his or her overall well-being and academic achievement. So that is why we are here and what we hope to accomplish. And with that, I'd like to ask Sarah Walker to come up front here and start us off with some public comment.
Yeah.
I appreciate you being here, Sarah.
Well, thanks for having me. So those of you, I know most of you, I don't know all of you. So those of you that may not know me, my name is Sarah Walker. I am a parent and an employee in the district. I have two children in first and third grade. I'll have a third daughter that will start here in a couple years in the district. I coach high school volleyball, junior high boys basketball. I volunteer coach for the indoor high school track team, and I coach high school track during the outdoor season. So I do a lot of a little bit of everything, maybe. I don't know. I'm all over the place all the time. My husband also teaches in the district. So we're very involved in the district in lots of facets, both as parents but also as employees. And I frequently attend board meetings because I think it's important to be informed as an employee but also as a parent. And so I sit and I watch board meetings, and everyone complains about everything all the time, and this is a problem, and fix this, and do this. And I'm actually here to do the opposite, because I think that we have an incredible district, and very recently, two incidences that I just felt really strongly on my heart the last couple of weeks that I needed to speak about. The first one being the PE with a parent at Meadowlark, I think, is one of the coolest things that I've ever participated in. I was able to do it with my first son when he was in kindergarten. And then, of course, COVID happened, and we're able to finally get back to that this year. Miss Warren was not there that day. And as much as I adore her and love her and think she's an incredible teacher, I just wanted to give praise to the substitute that was there that day, because she is not only stepping into a role that is not consistently her position and with kids that she does not work with every single day, but in front of parents that are going to scrutinize everything that she says and does. And she was amazing. I don't personally know her. I'm sure Mrs. Graves can speak more on her if she chooses to, but I just want to point out that in my one incident with one sub, our subs are few and far between, but I know that they care a lot about the kids and they are incredible at what they do. And so I just feel it's really important for the community to understand that the few that we do have are really great at what they do. And in particular, that sub that day at PE made the experience as great as it could have been, I'm sure, with Miss Warren there as well. I still took away from it everything that I hope to as a parent. So the second one being, interestingly enough, like repeating the vision statement tonight, reading that last part of that in growing every day in his or her overall well-being and academic achievement. I also am blessed enough to be a preschool teacher at Learning Tree. I teach in the three-year-old class, and we're right across the street from New West High School. And so we have been lucky enough to have a few students from New West High School come over as part of their classes that they take, and they volunteer in our classrooms, and they help us out. I've not worked with every single student, but the one student that I am lucky enough to work with is kind and positive and understanding, and he's a wonderful person in everything that he does. But he came in with really big eyes, and I was like, hey, welcome to three-year-olds. Here's 14 of them. We're really messy, and we're really loud. And he kind of just has filled this role in my classroom that I, as a teacher, cannot fill, and my aide cannot fill, and any parent volunteer that walks through the door cannot fill, because he has a different way of relating to the kids. He's building relationships with the kids. He's bonding with the kids. He is just doing an incredible job. And so I want to give him praise in particular. I've had the opportunity to speak directly with his parents as well and praise them for the amazing person that they're raising. I've also spoken with Mr. Hansen and praised him for the job that he's doing to really prepare those students. But I think it's just a collaboration in our community that not only the student, I believe, is gaining something from the experience, but the future of Johnson County and three-year-olds and myself as an educator, I'm gaining a lot from that as well. So I just want to say thank you for doing that. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to see in action all the great things that the kids are doing, all the great things that the teachers and the subs are doing. And thank you for listening and being here and doing the job that you guys do every single day. I appreciate it, and I am very grateful to be here in Johnson County as both a parent and as an employee. So thank you.
Sarah.
Thank you. You speak very well, Sarah.
Oh, well,
thanks. Did I hear a wild rumor? Were you in that PE class?
He was.
I think it was a rumor.
Jump roping. Yeah, jump roping.
Did anybody videotape us?
The kids outdid me, too.
Did you have your cowboy boots out when you were jump roping?
I actually took them off because they were dirty.
So. Okay.
I got to jump rope, too. And a pair of 3-foot tall people swinging a rope for a 6.5 foot tall guy can be really interesting.
Okay.
Chopped you down to size.
It whittled me down pretty quick, yeah.
Any more public comment? All right, moving on. May I have a motion to accept the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Thank you, Kristen. The next, board officer elections. As per board policy BDA, may I have a motion to elect Charles Oskey to facilitate the election of the board chair? For the next 5 minutes, he will be the board chair.
I'll make the motion to elect Charles Oskey to be the acting board chair.
Second. Thank you. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you. Mr. Oskey?
All right, Madam Chair. So
no, Mr. Chair.
temporary with that portion. So we
The floor is open for nominations to move forward with the officers, starting with the chairman. Annette?
I nominate Jan Johnson as to continue as chairman. Or chairwoman.
Do we have any more nominations? All right. With that being the only nomination, so as a board, all in favor of Jan being the chair for the 2023 school year, please signify by saying aye if you agree.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. So with that, Madam Chair, I get the opportunity to turn this back over to you according to board policy, and you can fill the remaining positions. Congratulations.
Thank you. If you can tell I'm red, it's because it is a privilege to do this. It's hard. You know, it is hard, and it's very, very time-consuming. But I do consider it a privilege, and I thank you. And we'll keep moving forward, I hope. So thank you. All right, let's continue on with the nominations. May I have nominations for the vice chair?
I would nominate Lynette to continue as vice chair, if she's willing to accept.
Any other nominations? All those in favor of Lynette Fox continuing as vice chair, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you, Lynette, for serving that position again. Nominations for clerk.
I'll nominate Jody Perplanky, providing Jody you have the time to do it. You've done an awesome job, and we all thank you.
I can't say enough how I appreciate, even though you don't hang up on me. I think she sometimes, when she sees my name, it's like, oh, she's calling again. So I appreciate it, and Jody is also takes our minutes in... second, so I appreciate all your hard work and your words of wisdom. So thank you. All those in favor of Jody Verplanky continuing on as clerk, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you, Jody, for doing it again. Treasurer.
I nominate Kristen Ledoux to continue.
Any other nominations? Kristen, are you willing to do it again?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. All those in favor of Kristen Ledoux continuing on as treasurer, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Again, being a member of this board is truly a humbling and a blessed position, so we thank you. All right, Mrs. Gay.
All right, she went to get our auditor, Jason, so he should be here. I think they stepped out for a second. They had some things to do. So with that, Madam Chair, that's what we are waiting for at this point.
Is there any way we can just watch the video that we need to stay with? Well, we really can't. We can't change the agenda. Never mind. Are they coming?
I don't know where they went. It's still here. It's like they've been abducted by aliens. So just keep a lookout. So you're looking back there.
So I just wanted to say to the board while we're sitting here is I think it's a great idea to leave people in for 2 years in each position so they get comfortable with it, and then next year, if we want to make some changes, that's good. But like I said, get comfortable with the position so you understand it, you know it.
And I don't think any more than 2 years. I mean, you don't want to get stagnant. You want different.
I agree with that. The time that you and Lynette put into this is amazing to me. I would not have that time. But I've learned a lot just from you guys being able to put that time in.
Here comes the auditor. No. Oh, that's not you.
But there's one more.
My findings.
I'm not retired.
And she still does.
And what is she? One word. Choices.
How's the weather outside? Did anybody come in?
They were in the other room, so I just missed them.
Showtime, man.
Yeah.
Showtime.
Hey.
Our audit
review suspense.
Will now begin. Appreciate you guys even coming up. You may get here, you're here, but you may not get home. So.
Yeah. Home for me is hopefully Billings, for my meetings tomorrow, but hopefully I can get up the road. We'll see, huh? Hey, well, sure appreciate the opportunity to be here and to present the audit results for the year. You know, the audit process, it takes a lot of time on our part. You know, we form an opinion over these financial statements. We walk through every transaction class, all right, and we perform tests over those transaction classes. We sit down in the beginning of it, and we design the procedures that we're going to do, and those include communicating with your banks, right, making sure that the bank balances are going to be reconciled to the trial balance, and we get that information directly from the bank, so there can't be any manipulation or anything like that. We look at, we send out confirmation letters to the sources that you receive revenue from, and we make sure that all of that's recorded correctly, okay, in the financial statements. And, you know, there's just, I could go on and on because it's exciting and fun, but there's just a lot of work that goes in to that, the numbers. More so than the work that we do is all the work that happens throughout the year. The district in the current year faced some challenges with turnover in the business manager position, and the findings that we have in the audit report are somewhat reflective of that, and these things happen, right? And so we've pointed that out, but I do think that management has provided us a nice letter of response at the back of the audit report there that you have, and talking about how they're going to move forward and move onwards. And hopefully that's really the thing, is that as my job as an auditor is similar to maybe a referee, is to come in and call it how I see it. And what happened is what happened, right? But it's pleasant to see responses like we see at the back of the audit report, where there is a plan in place. You have, you know, some nice staff members to work with, and we appreciate the relationship that we've begun developing with them in the time that we've worked with them over the last few months. So our opinion over the financial statements is a clean opinion. If you kind of want to follow along on the audit report, so in the audit report, you kind of turn to the first page there, and there's a, the header, and then you've got the table of contents. Connie did a nice job of putting together the management discussion and analysis. And you can read through that. That management discussion and analysis, it highlights some of the items in the current year, and it kind of provides a perspective, of a comparison. So if you're on Roman numeral page 8 there's a two-year comparison of the consolidated statement of net position. It kind of gives you an idea of how things change from one year to the next, all right? And so you might want to, I don't know how many of you have read this. I mean, it's a long document, 71 pages total. It's an exciting read, I'm sure. And, filled with Gatsby jargon and the like, real exciting that way. But this management discussion and analysis, it does a nice job of just condensing a lot of that info and communicating that to the reader. And so I'd suggest maybe starting by reading that through if you're looking to give this a good read. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go to page 1 of the report. So that's got our letterhead. So it's right behind the Roman numeral pages there. It says Independent Auditor's Report at the top. At the top, the first paragraph there is opinions. And so our opinion is that these financial statements are fairly presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. And so you have a clean opinion over the financial statements. And the paragraph below that is the basis for opinion, and that's how I kind of started, is talking about the basis for our opinion, all the work that we did. This report goes on for a few pages. The next page talks about the auditor's responsibilities, and we have fulfilled those responsibilities. Then there's a paragraph related to the required supplementary information. And then on page 3, there's a paragraph talking about the supplementary information. Now, we perform this audit in accordance with GASB standards, and those standards require us to issue another report. So this is the main report. This is the audit report over the financial statements. GASB standards require that we issue a report over internal control and compliance. That is found much further back in the audit report. So you can go back. There's a header that says Other Independent Auditors Reports right after page 41. And so then this page, this is page 42, the header on it, it's on our letterhead again. It says Independent Auditors Report on Internal Control Over Financial Reporting. So we're required under our professional standards when we do an audit in accordance with government auditing standards to gain an understanding of the internal control environment, the structure, what's happening here. Internal controls is a concept of policies and procedures that are put in place to help to prevent and detect errors and fraud in a timely manner, okay? And so in the current year, we have two matters of findings to report with related to internal controls for the financial statements as a whole. One we consider to be a material weakness, and the other we consider to be a significant deficiency.
May I interject just with which is higher?
Yeah, higher, lower. So a material weakness is more significant.
Okay.
Material weakness is the worst kind of finding we can produce, and then significant deficiency is less so. And then we have deficiencies that aren't communicated to you in writing, but are rather verbally communicated to management. Lots of times those are more like best practice recommendations or minor exceptions that we might find in connection with the audit that we believe are just really isolated small incidents and just not worthy of being significant. Yeah. And so we have that report there on page 42 and 43. Now, if we go past that, the next report that has our letterhead there, the title on it says Independent Auditor's Report on Compliance for Each Major Program. So the thing with this is that this is conducted whenever an entity expends over $750,000 of federal money, okay? Then we perform an audit like this. What we do is we go in and we walk through the long checklist that the federal government gives us, and we determine which program is going to be audited in the current year, or programs. In your case, there was two programs that were audited in the current year. There was the Education Stabilization Fund, and there was the nutrition cluster that we audited. In connection with that, we are required to audit and test internal controls and test compliance. And so we've done that. And in connection with doing that, we do have one significant deficiency to point out. And so what we'll do now is we'll keep flipping backwards. We'll go to page 47 of the report. Now, page 47 of the report is the schedule of findings and question costs. This is the summary page right here, where we itemize out, like, okay, there's material weaknesses, there's significant deficiencies in these different areas. Then on the next page, we'll skip to the next page, page 48. Here is where we report the material weakness and significant deficiency that I talked about in the first report over internal controls. The first thing that we found here, the material weakness, was the month-end control procedures. As it says here in the condition section, it says during our audit, we found that cash and grant activity had not been reconciled for several months. And we believe the cause of this is turnover in the business manager position led to the district falling behind in many administrative duties. And so, you know, again, this is why at the beginning I pointed to management's response that they provided to us, because I do believe that they have a plan in place currently and things are going well. Hopefully going forward, we haven't, you know, so much as scrutinized what's going on right now. But for this period, there was this lapse where these duties were not being fulfilled and should have been. And And so there's some catch up, you know, and you know, be grateful for Connie and the team for working so hard to get the district caught up in these administrative duties. In life, I think whether you're a student in school or you're, you know, in the accounting department, it's just never easy when you come into a situation where things are behind, you know, because it's hard enough, right, to just keep up with your daily tasks. When things are already behind, it just is extra burdensome. And so hopefully you all will be providing the business manager and the rest of the team with the support and encouragement that they need as they work to get caught up. And they also have ambitious goals with the current change in the accounting system. That's no small task, the change that's going to be happening here. And so I'm sure that, you know, a positive vibe from you all directed towards them will be appreciated and will be helpful in them accomplishing the duties that they need to fulfill. Okay. Any questions about that finding before we move on to the next?
So just, I met with these guys beforehand a little bit and asked them questions. And so our the policy procurement, and that's not what I want to call it, but the new business management system won't go into effect, Connie told me, until April 1st. Just so you guys know, the policy, I think it was a $52,000 purchase or something we did. But so that's what that is.
Right, right. And I'm sure there's some lead-up work that needs to be done there. And what will need to happen is there's still duties that are happening right now, you know. All the transactions that are hitting the bank, making sure that those are properly recorded in the accounting system and reconciled, that still needs to continue on, even though the transition to a new accounting software will happen later. And that, you know, in next year's audit, it's like the exciting thing for us is that's to come for next year, is to look at and see how were the transactions processed that are going on right now here in December, you know, last month in November. And we'll be looking at that next year as we get into the audit next year. Any other questions before we move on to the next one? Okay. The next one, significant deficiency, the procurement and conflict of interest. So management self-reported to us that there was a problem with a conflict of interest with an employee that was not disclosed in accordance with state statute. And so that is reported here. The next page, on page 49. So, you know, in the grant arena, it's important that that grants are drawn down in a timely manner, right? Now, there's a good explanation for why, in part, why the administrative duties were falling behind here. But as it says in our condition here, it says, during our audit, we are required to test the authenticity and completeness of federal drawdowns. However, as a result of the district being behind in preparing drawdown requests, there were no reimbursements to test from our standpoint. And additionally, we noted that the business office just didn't have that formal review or reconciliation process in place related to grants. And so we are recommending that the district continue to review, develop, and implement this process to get federal drawdowns in place on a regular basis and keep up on those requirements there. Because it does, as this, you know, as we explained in here, when we fall behind in that area, even when there's a good reason, it necessitates that the general fund is going to lend some money to the grant fund to help fund those operations. And that's routine, but it's best practice for that not to happen too extensively. And so, that's our finding there. Those really are all our findings over the financial statements. The next part of my presentation, I could go through the numbers in as much depth as some of you want or don't want. The challenge I have, I recognize some new faces here as compared to last year, some faces that I've seen before, right? But the challenge I have is doing an audit report like this is we had 71 pages, and my grandpa, he'd always say, you know, you need to tell people the time, not how to build a watch. And so the question is, how deep do we want to go?
Question, turn to page 31.
Okay, let's do it.
So post-employment benefits. Okay, we passed a policy that apparently is not being followed.
All right.
Does that concern you? And maybe it doesn't concern you. Should it concern the district, Charles?
What is the policy that's not being followed on 31? Not.
We passed a motion to delete the policy that offered district employees a post-employment benefit of $350 per month to subsidize their health insurance.
I thought that was being phased out.
That's what I thought, too.
It was.
So it was being phased out, so it hasn't got there yet. And I just, you know, I just, as I read through this thing, I just read that that was one of the things that you found that kind of caught my eye.
Yeah, so the post-employment benefit, it's been on there. There was a change. When you began to phase it out, what it did was it lightened. What's that?
Apparently in 2019 is
right.
When we started.
Right, yeah, when you started phasing that out, it's been a few years. And what happened when you went to phasing that out is that previously you were required to get an actuarial study performed so that the actuaries could try to predict what this liability is. Now what the liability is that as you've, to my understanding, that it was phased out and that some people are still vested and going to be paid in the future. So there's still a liability there that will be paid out in the future related to this, but it's certainly gone down, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's certainly gone down, and there's not that many folks.
No, and it's not much now.
Yeah. Right. And so I don't believe that. From my standpoint, this isn't a lack of following a policy or procedure. It's just simply
So can I ask you, how long will that continue for? Do you have any idea?
You can see it right there on the schedule. You can see it on page 31. In 2023, the estimated amount will be $17,850 of a payout.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And then 2024, $6,300. And then I believe after that, you're done.
Yeah. So it's just kind of all like current eligible employees when that wasn't implemented. They got, you know, they got the continued benefits, but there's no new added.
Yeah,
right.
Which was good.
So these are just kind of like the last handful of people that are applicable to that program. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you just got two more years essentially of paying their insurance premiums, or at least part of
Thank
it.
You.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that, but I guess I have to ask the question. So Dave and the rest of the board, do you have concerns that we're not following policy? Or with this procedure, because that was a comment that was made.
Well, to keep good faith, we've got to complete the contract we made with the employees who we're finishing out on. So,
because this was something that was adopted in 2019.
Right, and it wasn't when you were here, Charles. Yeah.
But the question was asked of, do I have a concern? So
yeah.
I need to make sure that you as a board don't have a concern.
Where are we not following policy? That's where I'm lost.
You can read right there what it says. That we passed, that, and I'm just reading what you guys wrote.
Okay, where is that at? Let's
see. So on the top of number six.
On the top of number six. On February 11th, 2019, the district's board passed a motion to delete the policy that offered employees $350. Accordingly, the district did not obtain an actuarial. So the purpose of the first paragraph, and maybe this is a very good point, because I now that I look at it from your perspective, I could maybe change the language inside of our report just slightly. I don't know that I would do it for this one, but I think that for future periods, and it's really not even material to liability anyway, but what when it says to delete, I think that what it would have been better to have said is to phase out, that I used the wrong adjective there. And the point of it was is that the reason that was the second sentence there where it says, and I kind of mentioned this without having reread it, was accordingly the district did not obtain an actuarial valuation of the liability associated with the post-employment benefit in the current year. The reason that the first sentence exists is like to help justify like why the actuarial, you know, valuation wasn't required, was what it was. Not to say that the liability was extinguished, because I now see the contradiction in it saying delete versus. So that's very.
Just a wording.
A wording, yeah. No, very good pickup there. I hadn't thought of it from your perspective. I thought of it as a lead in to why the actuarial study didn't exist.
So it's going to change word, but that's okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That was astute. Yeah. All right.
You guys want us to have some nighttime reading, and that's what I was trying to do.
Oh, that's good. Well, and especially because, like, it's one of those things in life where it's like I have a blinder on. Like, whenever you write something, sometimes you do it because you're trying to get a certain point across. But I didn't do it to the point of what you're saying, because I'm like, well, yeah, of course it's not gone because you have the liability there.
Yeah.
But I was
still like, so if you had a policy and you didn't follow the policy.
Yeah. So that was not. That's not what that comment was meant to represent. What it was meant to represent was to explain why you didn't need an actuarial study and follow the GASB's requirement. Because if this had not been phased out, better word, had it not been phased out, then an actuarial study would be required. But it wasn't, because it's being phased out.
All right. Well, thanks for answering that.
Good job. All right. That was good. Thanks for opening my eyes.
You go change it in the next district statement.
Well, I don't. I mean, we don't have another district right now that I'm aware of that's phasing out. But yes, that is the next time someone goes to phase it out. I will use that word, not delete, because that is a better word.
Even have an OPEB or other post-employment benefits to begin with. So it's not a big concern for a lot of other districts.
Yeah.
For the record, there are some people here that would appreciate that policy coming back.
Jake, are you shaking your head yet?
I got too long.
Mr. Anderson? No. Stay.
But anyhow, I want to tell you guys, I thought it was a nice job with the audit. It was easy for me to understand and go through, and I did go through it pretty thorough. And, of course, we're billing our assets within the district, which we want to do, and there's various reasons for that. But I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate your feedback.
Any other questions?
Is the board satisfied? We're meeting policy. We can say
yeah,
that we're
on. Yeah, it really. I think that it was just a wording, Travis. That it probably wasn't necessarily a policy, but that's what he used to back up why we were. We'll go with the word phasing out.
But that satisfies you that we're
that
on course, and you don't need to fix something.
Yep. Okay. I know the rest of you caught it. You just didn't say anything.
First time I ever read one of these, I was not about to jump in.
Yeah, these financial statements can be intimidating. I know that. And so here's the thing is that as you all have time to digest this further or think about the conversation that we've had tonight, you're more than welcome to reach out to me or Kevin directly. We're here to serve the district, right, and to serve you all as a board. During our audit process, we reach out to you. We ask you different questions and such. But we're here for you. And if there's additional questions related to what's been presented in the audit report, we're happy to talk about that. Or if there's any other questions that you have for us, we'd be happy to conduct those conversations.
If it's okay, I'm going to tell the board the other questions I asked you guys in case anybody else saw it. So they had in there that we had purchased a turf tank. And that's what it said, was purchased a turf tank for basically $87,000. And I thought, how did that happen? Because we have to go out to bid for something over $50,000. But they explained to me, we actually did not purchase it. It's a lease purchase. And then it has the interest rate on there, which is why I thought we purchased it.
No, we leased it.
Yeah. So the other things I asked these guys, is said, so we got a little behind on our keeping our books up to date. And so I asked these guys, will you come back and make sure that we do that? And I think, Kevin, you said that you'll be back in, was it March?
Yeah, whenever kind of the conversion's going to be happening between going from this current accounting system to the new one, like I'm going to get involved making sure that everything kind of essentially flows through from this current period going on into all the new, because that's kind of like the biggest risk is, you know, not accounting for everything. So, yeah.
So like I say, I was just concerned that and nothing, you know, Connie's doing good, she's catching up,
yep.
But I was concerned somebody, I don't want to get into a problem here fiscally, so I wanted to make sure that somebody was, and they assured me that's going to happen.
So. Yeah, that happens in the future, and I think that, you know, that's just to help so that the audit documentation for our audit next year will go well. If there's other concerns, you know, the county's having or others, we'd be happy to address those and to help you all out when needed. Kevin's a great resource, and we have other team members as well that are great resources. But
I think I asked this question last year, and I'm just going to ask it again this year. So at the end of your audit, read everything, our district is in a good financial situation?
Well, sure. So let's turn to page. So it's hard for an auditor to, like, deal in yes and no's. So I'm sorry. So let's look at that together. And I will answer that question. But let's go to page 4 of the report. This is the district-wide statement of net position. All right. This here, you can see all of the assets, both short-term and long-term assets, and short-term and long-term liabilities. Okay. You have you have a liability on here, right? The net pension liability for, if you go to the far right-hand column, the total column, it says $10.7 million. Mm-hmm. That's a really big liability, right? Otherwise, you know, here at the district, you guys are pretty low on debt. You do have some finance purchase obligations, some leasing arrangements for $500,000. You have compensated absences for about $1 million, okay, in that range. You just don't have a lot of debt here. You do have the net pension liability for $10.7 million. There is nothing that you can do about that because you participate in the Wyoming retirement system, as you should, as a local government agency here in Wyoming. You know, that liability went down from about $15 million-ish last year, or 16, down to 10. And that's because the overall at the state level, it went from $2.3 billion of a liability down to like $1.6 billion of a liability. And this is your share of that decrease. And so, you know, if we look at overall your assets, the cash balance went up from about $6 million up to about $10 million this year. So you do have a healthy fund balance in the general fund in the current year. There's limitations that the Wyoming Department of Education puts on that, and they'll be looking at this audit report and the unassigned fund balance and looking to see if there's money owed back to WDE or not. They will be looking at that. But overall, as you look at this balance sheet, it looks healthy to me. You know, and financial health is good because that means that hopefully you're helping to deploy those resources for the good of the kiddos in this community and to help your teachers out here, and figuring out ways to do that judiciously and wisely. This balance sheet, it looks nice. It looks in good order from my perspective. But that being said, I don't sit in your shoes and I don't make the plans for your future buildings, right? I don't make the plans for, you know, the future raises that you need to provide to teachers and what your future plans are. And
our next biggest liability was buses at $445,000. But as we pay those off, I think the state reimburses us.
Yes.
So right. Like I say, that's reimbursable. So that's, we're in a good place there.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a limited amount of debt, and that's good. You know.
So the question, our cash in the bank went up. Is that because of the federal money that was coming in?
That is because they allow us the 30% carryover. They allowed us the 30% carryover.
Gotcha. Maybe that will come back, right?
Any other questions?
I mean, just to extend off that, one of my requests at the end of the board meeting tonight will be to not only have special ed, but to have the business office talk about these things at our next work session, because I think there's a lot of detail to that, why we're at the carryover that we're at. I mean, just in a quick summary, we received over $1 million in extra pay, so we carried that over. That's going back, that impact of what that looks like, the initial goal to not spend down because
of this year's budget. We're using the carryover to help with this year's budget. So there's a lot of things that kind of go into that that I would like to take an opportunity at the next work session to kind of explain to you as a board of trustees. Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I would just like this just to talk about what Mr. Bellis was talking about. We requested, when we knew that we were going to be moving to a new accounting system, we asked Kevin to come in and help us make sure that all those things are in order and that things are in a good spot before we change. So that was not anything that Jason and Kevin required. We asked them to come in and do it for us.
And they said yes, so we're going to hold them to that.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. We'll be happy to.
So I'd on my behalf, if we're wrapping up, I'd like to thank you for the time. And, I mean, we've had some very in-depth, I want to say professional conversations, some of it wordsmithing to see everybody's point of view. But I appreciate the time and effort. Kevin, I know you're the short drive over. So we appreciate that short drive, but it's still an obligation. And the day that we continue to move forward with this new program, helping us with that transition, because by no means is it an easy transition at all. When you were talking about the number of codes and accounts that get transferred over in the thousands, we want to make sure we do it correctly. So,
yeah. And I think, so, you know, that transition is, the plan is in place for that to kind of alleviate some of these findings from this prior year. So that's, you know, a big reason why Connie and Charles are pushing this and wanting to go this route, because it's going to help kind of with that kind of financial reconciliation process and stuff like that. So, and like they've already, you know, all of our findings were as of June 30th. They've already been putting procedures in place to get the district caught up for this current fiscal year. But then just going forward, that'll just kind of, you know, just be best practices for accounting purposes.
If you can see in the action items, we will be voting on to accept the audit. That will, again, will not happen until we get to the action items. So thank you so much.
So with that, Jason has a place to go. Are you guys okay, or do you need him to stick around for the action item? Can they leave, or are you guys good and can move forward?
Better get on the road. I was going to say, roll quick.
We'll just
thank
wait
you.
To that blizzard hits and keep you here all night.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. See ya.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to general reports. The first item is the student video, JCSB1 student video. So, let it roll.
Feedback from other people, wondering whether meeting. You have a good day.
Time of the year, always. 12 months out of the year, it's busy. All right. Thank you for that video, and we'll move on to VHS School Improvement Plan. I always call him Mr. Gibb. Mr. Gibb was not able to be here during our work session, so.
So thank you for the opportunity to present tonight, and welcome to new board members. It will be fun and a pleasure getting to know you. I always look forward to sharing our data, really, the story of academic story, if you will, of Buffalo High School. It's a lot of fun. So, can we start? This slide presentation. And then let's just, go to that one. Okay, so. I did send you this in that folder as well, right, so that you can watch this on your own. But then you have my slides as well. Okay, Chris, can we can go on. So I'm going to share with you some different data points. Well, I'm going to share 2 years of the school performance report, right? That's the state's report card of Buffalo High School. We'll share the Buffalo High School portion of the fall Johnson County School District 1 climate culture survey. So Dr. Miller was able to take the whole thing apart, send Buffalo High School just to Buffalo High School stuff, which is really great. I'll share with you as well what we've termed the school profile, which is something that we produce for parents, for community members. It's an introduction to Buffalo High School that isn't too data heavy, but shares some data. All right, so I'll share that with you. And then we'll get to the school improvement plan. Thank you, Chris. Next one, please. And if you click on the 2021. Yep. And we're just going to hit some high points. I'm believing at this point you're pretty familiar with these because you saw these last Wednesday. And let's scroll down. So this is 2021. This is coming out of COVID. Lots of not applicables, no score for Buffalo High School, right? So really out of this page, we can kind of take away is a graduation rate of 82%. Not where we want to be. Okay. Let's go on down again. Next. So this is the second page of that. And again, you see all of these not applicables, which is why we don't get a score. Meet target in achievement. Let's go down. And then you get to some stuff that's not green. And if it's not white, it should be green. So below target extended graduation, four-year on-time graduation, post-secondary readiness, and grade 9 credits. So when we received that, Dr. Miller came over. We took some staff time, and he helped us work through what all of these areas mean. For a lot of my staff, it was the first time they'd seen the report card. We took, as he talked about these things, we took a couple of these things as a staff and identified some very low-hanging fruit, let's call it, things that we could get some traction on really quickly. One of those areas was post-secondary readiness. The other one was grade 9 credit. So what this means is that we were not able to demonstrate that our graduating seniors are college or career ready. Not enough of them, not a high enough percentage. And there's a couple of ways to do that. We can do that through ACT. We can also do that through Work Keys. Work Keys is an assessment from ACT for career readiness.
So it's a work readiness test. And we were doing a lot of work these, so we've changed that. The grade 9 credits, so I think it's 90% of your freshmen at the end of the freshman year should earn 25% of the credits they need to graduate, right? So Buffalo High School need 28 credits to graduate. So we should have at least 90% of our freshmen earning 7 or more credits, and we weren't quite there. So we said, we have to fix that. If you're not familiar with our schedule, when at this time or the year before this, my first year here, we ran a schedule called an 8-block-a-block-8 alternating block. So Mondays and Thursdays, kids see all 8 teachers. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we run an alternating block. So on Tuesdays, they go to periods 1, 3, 5, and 7, and they're 90-minute blocks. On Thursdays, they see periods 2, 4, 6, and 8, 90-minute blocks. At that time, our Fridays were alternating blocks. So kids would go to 1, 3, 5, 7 this week, and they would go to 2, 4, 6, 8 the next week, which meant for freshmen, they would see their core teachers, any teacher, on Monday, on either Tuesday or Wednesday. So that's one, Tuesday or Wednesday, on Thursday, but then only every other Friday. And for me and 14-year-olds, that's not enough student contact time. So we took Friday, we made Friday all eights. So now we're doing 8-block-block-8-8. And then we looked at how we could manipulate our master schedule. And so our incoming freshmen in math may be in algebra, they may be in geometry. They're spread around the building a little bit. Incoming freshmen in science may be in general science, they may be in biology, also spread around a little bit. So really hard to pair those guys up. But in social studies and English, every incoming freshman takes the same social studies, freshman social studies. Every incoming freshman takes English 9. So we looked at our master schedule. We created skinny blocks, paired up those teachers. So on those block days, those 90-minute periods, our freshmen will go to English and social studies. 45 minutes into the block, the teachers switch. So those kids are now seeing their social studies and English teachers every day of the week, not alternating. And we were able just to create those because those all the kids are the same. So it's easy to move. And the teachers do this on their own midway through. If they have some big project, they just arrange with each other that they're going to keep them. But I think they've done that once. And we do have building data already from last year, was the first year we did this, that our failures are way down in freshmen in English and in social studies. So I know we're on the right track with that one. So that's been good. So again, some things that as a staff we could immediately identify. Okay, Christy, let's go back and grab the next one. Thank you for doing this one. So this is the one we received a year ago, right? And we scroll down to the not nice yellow box, means we're partially proficient, partially meeting expectations, right? We have some more data to work with. Graduation rate 86.7, better, right? My number's 100,
yeah.
But we're at 86.7. Let's go on down again, Christy, to the data page. So you can see that some of the stuff in the previous year that was NA has now been filled in. Meeting our target in equity, below target in achievement. This year we met it the year before. Let's slide on down. Extended graduation, we now meet target. On-time four-year graduation, we're sitting there. We are still here. And when I shared this with my staff, my ninth grade teachers could not believe that they didn't make any progress. They're like, there's no way in the world that that's correct. And I had to remind them that's a lagging indicator. So that measures for the class the year before we made the change. So we won't see results on these things, until this next year. And it will change. So just so you understand that. And we're still hot on these two things right now at Buffalo High School. We have to get our freshmen in good shape. And that should be an easy one for us to fix. So that's where we are right now with our school performance report. All right, Christy, let's go back one more again. And, yep. So let's look at the school culture survey briefly. So you have all the comments on the first page. Well, and let's slide on past that one, and let's just look at some graphs. What we want to see on most of these slides, what we want to see is a trend that looks like this, right? I'm here because I want to be. A one is low. We don't have any ones and twos. But the ones are at the bottom, and the fives are that's the outstanding stuff. So those are the trends that we want to see. And in a lot of areas we do, and in some areas we don't. Let's go. Feeling supported, right? Have the resources. We've got 60-something percent that are in the 4 and 5 category, but we have almost 40% that don't feel that way. Direct supervisor plays an active role in the ongoing professional development. This is something I think is actually, that slide looks better than I would have thought. My staff felt like they didn't have opportunity to go learn at other places. For a number of years, people hadn't felt like they had the opportunity to go. And that's changing. We sent teachers to do either new or additional AP training over the summer. So I know that trend line is changing, and we're doing the right work there. Let's go on down, Chris. Again, we're on the 1 to 5 scale, so we like to see that. We'd like to not have so much down here and shift it. Positive relationship with stakeholders, 57% in the middle. Do we do a good job promoting our own success? Probably we're not as good at that as we should, right? We should be blowing our own whistles once in a while, a little bit more often. Okay, Christy. Learning environment. So everyone, this first one, everyone here is putting students first. It's pretty strong stuff. Again, I would like to see the grass stop there and everybody be up here a little bit more like this, providing a safe, healthy, and effective learning environment. That's what we want to see, right? We want to see as many ones and twos just drop off the screen as possible. This one, I think, is curious. Instructional strategy is collaborative here. So we refer to this PLC format, professional learning communities. We're haven't been a professional learning community school. So when they took this in August, September, I think it was September that this was, that they hadn't experienced any of that, and yet they still feel like they are collaborating and working together. They do it really well. As we move into what is truly the PLC format, the structure of their conversation will change. The sharing of data becomes much more a priority than it is now. The discussion of instructional strategies becomes a much bigger focus. But it's interesting to me that back in September, they're feeling pretty good about that. You look at the bottom two, student engagement is a focus, 90.5%. Absolutely. Quality instruction is a focus, 95.7%. So those are good, solid stuff. And let's roll one more. I think this is the last one. So leadership at the school or department level. As I sat with my leadership team to go through all of this, they were concerned about when you had one that said, school department, that they might answer, they weren't sure if the teacher was answering the survey based on the department or based on the school as a whole. So Buffalo High School does a culture and climate survey at the end of January. And so we're going to take some of these questions and we're going to separate them and see how their responses differ between, is it a school response or a response focused on school, or is it a response focused on department? So we'll be including, I don't know, more than a half a dozen slides actually from this whole thing, just to get a second glance at what that data would show us. All right.
Mr. Ginn, what's the last one say?
When there's a problem, my school department tends to be... Oh, yeah, so it's a change. One is reactive, five is proactive.
Okay.
And this one as well, right? The resistance to change scale, my school department gravitates to, one, the way we do it the way we've always done it, or two, agile, responsive, and flexible. So in that case, they're not seeing Buffalo High School as agile, responsive, and flexible, right? Or their department. I'm not sure which one. Thank you for putting that one up. All right. Yep. One more? No more. Okay. Good. So let's jump back out. And the next slide. So this is what a school traditionally would refer to as their own school report card. We've titled it a little bit differently because I have wordsmiths at Buffalo High School. So it's just a lot of general information for anybody to see. You've got some positions and ways to contact people, a little bit about the building, the students, the faculty, our graduation requirements at Buffalo High School, our mission statement at Buffalo High School. And then because it's about graduation and it's about your next step, we talk about grading scales. And we have two. We have a weighted scale and an unweighted scale. Keep on going now. And then just some data, right? Some assessment data. What are the overall GPAs of students at Buffalo High School? How do students kind of fall out and lump up? Becca is the architect of this, and so she's doing a couple things for me. I'm not real happy with, even when it's on print in front of you, with being able to delineate the colors to the key. It's a little bit difficult. And there's one slice of the pie I don't see on that one that I didn't like either. So we have GPA on the left. We have ACT results on the right. Keep on going down, Christy. Math scores. So this was one where I felt like we need to do the same thing with color because it's hard to delineate a couple of the blues. And then this, the one slice of the pie has been removed because depending on the size of your graduating class, you don't have that many numbers. Somebody can figure out who that is because it's one. And so we need to be very careful with the data. So we talk about dual and concurrent enrollment opportunities. We talk about advanced placement opportunities. We talk about co-curricular activities. And these co-curricular activities and that participation number, 274 out of 343, is hugely important. We know that when kids participate in school, they graduate that school. When we did a study at Kelly Walsh High School, and of the kids that participated in something, and that something could be unicycle club once a week in the halls, or it could be board game club once a week, or it could be football, basketball, FBLA, FFA, whatever. Of those kids that participated in something, they graduated at 100%. 100%. That's amazing. So we had the opportunity last spring to add essentially a trap shooting club at Buffalo High School, and we have kids who aren't big on participating in a lot of stuff competing in trap shooting. So it's another opportunity. And we look for that kind of stuff all the time. So this is a document that shares some data with parents or community, but it's not overwhelming like some of those other reports are. I try to always keep it to two pages because that's not overwhelming either. You can hand somebody a piece of paper. They can learn some stuff about your school. So it's been pretty effective.
Where is that available?
It's on the website. That's the first place to go.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. And I think, Christy, we go back for one more. All right, so this is what I was asked to talk about.
All of that to do.
So this is a document that's a and you're aware of much, I'm sure, of what I'll say today already. It's a whole new template, a whole new format for the state. We got these this fall. I don't remember the date, without much time to turn them around. So I sat down. I had conversations with my leadership team, sat down and drafted this. This is now back to the leadership team. They'll take a look at it. It'll change. We will then get it to the staff in January. They'll look at it, and it may change, which is all good. We need to be focused on the stuff that we believe is most important in improving. And then we need to be monitoring that stuff all the time in order to know if we're getting where we're going or do we need to change some things. So, again, this is based on the last school performance report. And we identified two goals. Let's see. The first one is working in the PLC model or similar collaborative approach. And teacher expertise in the use. So how are we going to get there? What professional development is needed? Teacher expertise in the use of selecting high-leverage instructional practices. And you get that through training, peer observation, intentional practice, and leadership feedback. Yep, you're good. Practice goals and related action. So the research around the effectiveness of the PLC model is well established as a process for improving both instruction. And when you improve instruction, you increase student learning. That's the measure of good instruction. How are we going to do this? Provide time during the contract day for collaborative team meetings. We're doing that right now. Create collaborative teams of teachers to work together to improve student learning and discuss instructional practices. So right now, almost all of our teams at Buffalo High School chose a 21st century skill, which right now all of the teams at Buffalo High School are also cross-curricular. So they're not working in a department. They're working with seven other teachers from around the building. So I'll have business teachers and ag teachers in the same collaborative team as a math teacher and an English teacher and a science teacher. So we need to find something that they can all use, and 21st century skills work fits that model really well. It's also a pretty soft way to get into the work, because at some point in these conversations, I'm going to sit with my team, and we're both going to teach algebra, for example. And we're going to take what's called a common assessment. My kids take it, your kids take it, we take it within about a day of each other. I bring my data in, you bring your data in. We set our data down, and his kids are going to do better than my kids. That's pretty risky as a teacher. And the conversation has to be, Mr. Bellis, what do you do in this unit that I don't do? Help me with some instructional practices. That's kind of risky, right? But eventually, that creates a much better teacher because I get to take from you. There will be a day when I'll set my data down, and it'll smoke yours, right? And then we have to have enough trust in each other for this teacher to ask me, what do you do that I don't do? How do you get there? And those are the conversations we're waiting to have happen. And so if we start, we kind of dip our toe in the water with something that's not content-based, it's not math teacher against math teacher, it's working on communication, soft skill, career readiness, critical reading. Everybody does it. Everybody's teaching it. Informative text, everybody's teaching it. So it's a much safer way, I think, to get us started. So right now, teachers don't currently discuss instructional practices for effectiveness in relation to student learning. So we're going to get there. All right, Kristen. So the PLC model will be adopted school-wide. Collaborative teams will work through. There's four questions a collaborative team focuses on. If you stay on those four questions, you're doing the right work. Pretty simple. We will have an increased focus on effective instructional practice and increased student achievement as a result of that. So we just started coming up with some timelines. We have begun the work. and by next August we'll be in it. We'll be in it there. Okay, let's go to one more. We've got one more goal. That's the high quality instruction. No, keep going. Sorry. One more. No, sorry, I'm wrong. Back up. I thought I was rereading the same thing. Okay, sorry.
One more.
No,
other way.
Yeah, sorry. That one. All right, so high quality instruction with the greatest impact on student achievement, learning, and engagement. So they'll be working through the PLC model, but in addition to that, beginning in January, I'm going to ask teachers to begin to do peer observations. One of the best parts of my job is that I get to get in every classroom, and I get to see just fantastic instruction that a classroom teacher right now can't see. So I want to get them out. I want to get them observing both their colleagues, and if I have a science teacher who wants a strategy in who knows what, rocket science, then I'll have the opportunity to send that teacher for a day to work with a master teacher that I know in Casper or in Gillette or in Sheridan. It's close. They spend a day. They learn from somebody else. They come back and they bring those skills and learnings back, and then they share them with their department because those strategies are for more than rocket science, right? It can be used in all sorts of areas. So that's the other our other improvement goal. All right, I think one more slide then. Yeah, so how are we going to get there? We're going to follow the implementation of the PLC. We're going to do observations of other teachers. And initially, I'll ask my teachers to take a prep and go observe. And I'm not interested in them staying a whole hour. I'm interested in them in there for 15 or 20 minutes. And then following that with a conversation with that classroom teacher. Very low stress, very low key. Possibly, you know, I'll look at sub costs as I send a teacher to see somebody else and cost of travel. And the goal being that they sit and they talk about what was effective in the classroom. So that's where we are with our school improvement plan. And I can almost guarantee you there will be some tweaks and changes as we get feedback from the whole staff. That's it. I think that's it, Rutgers.
Thanks, Gib. Is there any questions from the Board of Trustees for Gib?
I have one. Why do you think Buffalo High School is behind in PLCs, considering how we've heard from the other schools and where they are in their PLC program?
I think it's never been high enough on the priority list. I mean, we do what we're intent on doing.
Okay.
So, and I will say too that it is always a little bit more difficult. The difficulty increases from elementary school to high school.
Okay.
It just does. One of the reasons, legitimately, that it hasn't taken a foothold at Buffalo High School is we have a school full of singletons. I have one ninth grade social studies teacher. I have one 10th grade social studies teacher, one 10th grade English teacher. And in order to be effective in collaboration, you and I need to teach the same thing so that we can have a common assessment, so we can have those discussions that make me better. And right now, those discussions they're not part of our schedule. We can build in the time. In fact, we took the master schedule in June, May, April, and we created common planning periods for all departments. With the thought being we can get science teachers to visit to work on a collaborative team. As we returned to school, the staff said we'd really prefer to use what they've had in the past, which is what they've called pods, where we have a ninth grade pod. And so there's teachers from all across the building teaching all sorts of things that discuss the ninth grade stuff. So our task then was, how do we find those people something that is content oriented that can be taught in all content areas? And so that's where the 21st century skills. So there are a couple of different challenges right now.
Okay. Other questions, please.
So, Gib, one of the things I sometimes wonder about is, have we let you down a little bit on maybe you wanted to change the schedule there to the trimester and that end goal work, but do we need to look at the seven-period day so every kid sees their instructor every day? And it's just something for you to think about. Maybe you've thought about it plenty, and I just hope that we haven't let you down as a board. And we'll have that conversation someday then. Maybe.
So the big red flag I saw in the data report was the graduation rates. We've also seen that we lost enrollment over the COVID years where people went to homeschool or some other option and never came back.
Absolutely.
Is that taking a hit? Is that what's causing that number to come out subpar because we lost students that might be otherwhere graduating?
So if they enroll and register in an accredited school, is that right, Charles? If they transfer and they enroll in an accredited school, they come off our books. They're not a dropout. They're not reflected there. Okay. If they go to homeschool, they would be reflected there. Okay.
But it's also your special ed kids.
It is.
So there's a lot of, we talk about that, if they're off track after their freshman year, now they're not into that graduation. So there's just a lot of key factors that go into what that looks like for that graduation rate.
Yep.
So one of the things we talked about as a board is, Val's over here, is we have to teach until the age of 21 on there an IEP, but even though we're successful maybe on at the age of 20, we get dinged for them, all right? Family doesn't really go to a home school, or they transfer and they don't go to school after that. I mean, we're seeing some of those side effects with COVID, too, as we look at those graduation rates. But, however, with New West, we're starting to pick some of this up. So we talk about that year lag behind. We're going to see some of those. But the reality is also 4 years. It's a cohort of 4 years. And
the clock starts ticking on day one of
your freshman year. That's hard. If kids are successful in their fifth year, we should be celebrating that and not necessarily dinging you for that. So.
I wonder if we could make a district assessment that would reflect some of these things and categorize some of the different things. Here's why we're taking hits, because the ones that are out of our control are out of our control. You can't.
Well, we have Dr. Data, which is Dr. Miller, who can kind of help maybe pull some of that information out over time. So, yeah.
He's going to learn to hate me, isn't he?
No, he's actually
going to like it. I was going to say, he's going to love it.
You're going to. Cool.
Any other questions?
Just a couple. With the student growth, now I know Mr. Evans, they also include, give me the right word, CTE?
IRCs?
What's that say?
IRCs?
Yes.
For
thank
CTE?
God, it's close.
Yes. Yeah, and Mr. Ostheimer has that too.
Yep.
Okay, great. Does that help with the, is that included in the student growth?
Career readiness.
For career readiness. Yes.
Okay.
Readiness.
Yep.
All right.
But not the student growth portion of, no.
Okay. And I'd just like to echo what Mr. Bella said as far as maybe looking at the schedule. When you talk about having the same classes every day, if it's good for the freshmen, it's got to be good for our older kids as well.
So, Gib and I have had this conversation. When we come back in January, it's on our agenda to start looking at that and what that collaboration piece looks like. So, yes.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Gib.
You're welcome. Thank you for your time.
That's Gib.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gib.
Absolutely.
And thank you for letting me call you Mr. Gib. Principal reports, and our highlight person is not here today. Is that right, Mr.?
That is correct. So he is not here, so we're going to move New West to another opportunity to be the highlight. So Buffalo High School is just up, unless there's more questions for him through the process.
Yeah, anything in the board report.
Okay, so anything with the board report for Gib?
We won't put you on the hot seat. Relax.
All right.
Thank you.
Brandon is out. He is watching Family First, so daughter with that, Clear Creek Middle School. Any questions that maybe I can relay to him?
So, Madam Chair, if I could, on
yes.
Brandon, his school kind of knocked it out of the park on the white top testing, and so I don't know if there's something we can do. I'm sure the paper will put something out about because they were exceeded expectations in every category but one. So I don't know if there's some kind of a celebration we can have at that school. Hopefully you'll have that conversation with Brandon. Maybe you guys can come up with something.
So they
maybe it'll be similar to what Mrs. Graves has done.
So they celebrated already at the school with their scores, and they do some of those things already, Dave. And so that recognition, I also know that he, along with Dr. Miller, has submitted to the state the potential for recognition for those honors. So we do have those things in place.
I think we did. We did an ice cream thing celebrating.
Okay, so I think if I look at this right, Craig, you're up. Cloud Peak Elementary. Any questions?
I don't have any necessary highlights that I want to share other than it's really busy.
Well, I think your reports that you all gave on Wednesday were outstanding. We really appreciate them. So we won't put you on so much the hot seat, okay?
Lori, Menlark.
Lori, you had to cancel your dinner on Thursday?
We switched.
Oh, you switched? I didn't see the cancel. Did you give a date?
So we moved it to Monday.
Oh,
so
I did not see that.
Same time, same format. There just were a lot of complications, mainly maintenance and trying to get some of our equipment there to pull it off, and then food service because we had to have an answer this morning on posting orders, and just without knowing, one, if the trucks get through, two, if they got through, and then we were in a semi-snowed out situation, we just elected to move it. So it wasn't very convenient, but it is what it is.
So the cooks of the burgers appreciate it. So
you don't want to grill 600 burgers in the snow?
No.
And again, your celebration for Jessica was outstanding. So
thank you.
Well.
Yeah, and we're hoping to do, I talked to Heidi about maybe doing, so we have some National Board Certified teachers that have just recertified or certified new, and then Justice Awards. So maybe look at something in January to celebrate all that. It's pretty good stuff.
And if you all get a chance to attend one of their PTO, I thought the one on discipline was outstanding.
Yeah.
And it was very informative. It's good.
We're having some video glitches on the parent newsletter, so your link can
be. Yeah, I noticed I can't open it up.
It will be. So.
Okay.
So on a side note, have we received the video yet from Jess's award that we're supposed to receive? With all that,
I have some links. Yeah, I'll forward it to you.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Jake. Jake has his K-12. He also has a KC activity fall report.
Yep.
Thank you for including the GPAs. I think that's very informative. And,
you're welcome.
And the awards
awesome.
That all your kids received was really great.
Yep.
To know what
awesome to see they're succeeding on the court as well as or field as well as in the classroom. So it's important.
Thanks, Mr. Evans.
Thank you, guys.
All right, and Mr. Hanson, Dr. Hanson is out, so we will wait. But if there's any questions, like he said, please feel free to give him a call or send him an email. Okay. All right, so with that, if it's all right, we can move to director reports. So with that, facilities, you are up. You're a busy man.
I'm busy.
So how goes the heat in KC?
It's good. we'll bump you this morning. We had 4 units down throughout the district, and everything was running.
Cool.
As of 2 hours ago. I put everything on a 24/7 schedule to get through the storm. It's easier on the equipment when we're this cold and the wind. I know the utilities are high, but it's hard on those units to fire up in these conditions, so I run them 24/7. So hopefully everything stays running.
Thank you.
And again, I encourage you, if you ever get a chance, go back to Mr. Zink's office and what he looks at as far as the computer, and he can tell the temperature, and he can adjust. It's really very high tech.
It is. It's come a long way. What
instead
we
of
had.
Just our little thermostats on the wall.
We yeah. Saw, yeah.
No, I know I'm old.
They're not little thermostats anymore.
No.
Are they?
They still show, think that they can adjust them, but they're kind of locked out.
And so, John, you got a bid from Summit Recreation, who we used before for the playgrounds. Did you get bids from anyone else?
I did not. They're the ones that installed that. That's all their equipment, the surface, the playground equipment on Cloud Peak. So that's what.
So tentatively, are you looking at this next summer, 23, the summer of 23, to do that?
I would like to. Craig would like me to. This is going to be, I need to sit down and visit with Charles and Connie and, you know, budget. It's major maintenance. BOCES with manufacturers. BOCES was used for metalwork because of the manufacturer of the product. So I got some investigation to do into that to see if they're still part of the BOCES. Yeah, look forward. I think I chipped a tooth when I opened that email, but.
But didn't you say it's supposed to be done like every 2 years and it hasn't been done at all?
Right. Through the playground at Metal Arc, I learned a lot working with Summit. The maintenance on that would be every 2-3 years, a sealer would be put on it to protect it. It is a porous, it does allow moisture through. It's made for foot traffic, it's not made for equipment, tractors, which we've been doing, which has been done on Cloud Peak. And it's showing.
For snow removal?
Yes. Craig would like a glycol system, so.
A heated.
Yeah.
Is that expensive?
Oh, that would be really
he
expensive.
He seems to think it's expensive, but I don't know.
Oh, you're not joking. I thought you were joking.
You looked into it because there's a lot of driveways that have that.
That's what I said to him.
We just got.
But you'd have to tear the whole thing up.
Well, you know that boiler situation.
No, it depends on how deep you have to do it, how far under you have to go.
So we'd have to have a separate boiler for it.
So how long has that playground been in, has the surface been there? Right?
This is our 10th year.
So got our money's worth out of it.
If they're maintained, we should get 15.
But we haven't maintained.
And our UV is also a big, it does damage that surface without the sealer put on it. Our UV, because of our elevation, is stronger. So it tends to impact things a lot worse.
Do you know what the cost is to maintain it every 2 years?
Have not looked into that. It's taken me 6-8 months just to get this to where it is now. So it's hard to get anything with petroleum or glues or anything. People are reluctant to give me prices, and I keep badgering them because the market is fluctuating. Roofing material, like right now, you can't get an actual, you can get a quote. It's not accurate. They won't give you actual cost until it's on the truck heading to your project. Mm-hmm. So,
which are some of the reasons why we have procurement training coming up and ask those questions of how we deal with the current fluctuation of guarantees and how we do that stuff.
And I've been advised from the state of Wyoming, the project manager, Zach Bradshaw, any quotes, I'm telling contractors, put in a contingency into them. We have to, and that way everyone's covered.
Yeah.
Whether we use it or we don't, that way people are covered.
So to support John, so I've asked him once we get back in January to get Zach up here, get Levi over here, and sit down with Connie and ourselves and start prioritizing where our funds are going to go, start putting those project lists together for what goes to component projects, so that'll be the next stage. And just on a side note, I know everybody was kind of joking, but when you start talking about heated playgrounds and heated sidewalks, that's an enhancement and not necessarily maybe supported by the state. So I want to just, those are all great ideas, but I want to encourage the public to know that there's things we can and can't do, and Charles would like just to be very clear with that.
Well, you chose to think outside the box all the time.
I know,
so that's
but
what
I'm just giving you a heads up.
I'd rather play, eat a playground in than AstroTurf. So
there you go.
And take care of it.
Thank you, Mr. Zinger.
All right. Food service.
Thank you for beef. Getting, where's the beef? From the Geisses in Kragos?
Yeah. We're still working on our Goddard beef, but then we'll move on to the others.
Anything you'd like to add, Ricky?
I don't think so.
Okay, thank you for all you do.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Celebration of your new employee?
Oh, yes, I do. Sorry, celebration. New employee, Buffalo High School, Nikki Chase. So, as long as you approve her tonight. Then we'll go. If not, one of you can come up and work with us. But yes, we're excited to have her. Thank you.
Technology.
Kristen, anything you'd like to add to your report, or it's pretty much black and white?
Pretty much. It's just show that the graphs just show that the devices numbers have gone up as. Our student numbers have kind of gone down a little bit. It's not a huge spread.
Thank you for this data. That was very important for us. Thank you.
So, Madam Chair, Chris, did you get a lot of updates again to the computer systems? Was that, did that have anything to do with Skyward, or is that all to you? It's all to you. Way to go, Connie. All
right.
All right. No questions?
Well, we do Windows updates because they come out. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Madam Chair,
yes.
Can I just tell Christy thanks and her team? Today we had probably 8 hours of pretty intense scramble in trying to determine who needed hotspots and cords for our devices, made sure all the students had devices that were functional. So it, I know it must have been chaotic in her world, but she did not show it.
She never does.
We got what we needed, so thank you.
She even had a sense of humor when I phoned and told her I needed 15 hotspots.
And then when the sun is out and it's 80 degrees tomorrow, you know. But good, yes. That's one of Christie's, I think, one of her gifts, is being able just to stay
steady.
Steady, and everybody around you might be falling apart, but you're not, so I appreciate that. Mr. Roski, you're up.
All right, any questions for you as a Board of Trustees to me with my report?
Is there anything you want to highlight? Appreciate your video. It's pretty much straightforward.
I'm just going to highlight the team here. I mean, there's a lot going on. A lot of people are coming together. The example of what we've seen here this morning and putting together technology. Let's be real. Stress levels are high. Wrapping up the end of the year, trying to get events and meet the needs of everybody, and then Mother Nature throws another thing on top of us. So we just seem to, we seem to flow with our role with the punches and do what's best with kids, have hard conversations, and come out at the end trying to keep what's the most important thing is our schools up and functioning. So if you were to walk in this morning and hear what John had in front of him, and then we talk about the weather, and then we talk about some different things. It's just really exciting to be a part of a team that it's coming to the point they come to the table with an opportunity, as I reference it, but more importantly, they come to the table with some options so that we're not just beating the bush. So, okay.
They're doing what's best for kids.
And, yeah. So even through my stress level or my shortness and what happens sometimes, they continue to work with me or joke with me, so I do appreciate that. So.
Okay. Thank you. Where are we at? Curriculum and learning.
Dr. Miller was not able to attend this evening. He is wrapping up with the Sheridan College class, so if there's questions, he did ask for me to have you email him, and he will get back to you individually.
Okay, thank you. Special services report. Now, is there anything you'd like to highlight for us?
I had a couple of, but the first one that I can think of is we had a second successful Thanksgiving dinner that the students and staff prepare. People from the community come together. If you ever have the opportunity to go, you should go, because it's a very cool opportunity for kids that may not necessarily have Thanksgiving at home. But you have carbs of turkey, and I mean, it's all, they go all out.
And so it's a very cool thing to be part of. Some really good professional development is coming our way. I'm sending a group of, well, I guess fairly new teachers to our assistive technology conference, and we'll see if we can't get Christy to go to so that they learn about what's new and what's out there and available to give our kids the best access they can to their education. Our school psychs are going to NASP. I will send an email out shortly about the LRP Law Conference that'll take place this year if any of you are interested in attending. But we've got some really good things happening. So,
thank you. Any questions for Val?
So, Madam Chair, can I back up?
Sure.
You asked me the question and highlight something. Duh, Friday was an amazing introduction to the new board members. So I know it was crammed full of lots of exciting stuff, a lot of moving, an opportunity to do some things. But that's a huge celebration for me, Connie and her team and everybody and those that participated in that. So I appreciate Friday. So that was a big celebration for me.
We used to spend 6.5 hours, so just constant information.
Well, from the other end, thank you for your patience, all of you. I know you had to take that down a several notches repeatedly for me, but we got it worked.
Business report.
So I went in to visit with Connie because I looked at her report and I thought, how on earth can she tell what the revenue is in 2023? Because we're not here yet. So I went in and asked her, and she had done a snapshot of 4 months from the 21-22 calendar school year to the 22-23 calendar school year. So that answered my questions, and I appreciate the time that you spent explaining that to me, Connie.
You're welcome. So I will change that label so that it'll be the end of the month prior of each year. So next time it'll have the expenses and revenues as of 12/31/22 and 12/31/21, so we can compare those. That's what we're doing on that report.
One other question I forgot to ask you is, in the warrants, there's a transfer of $596,000. It doesn't say where it comes from and where it goes to.
I will have to look at that one.
Okay.
I don't.
Anybody else catch that? That you tell me? Okay.
I think I had this one up on
warrants and vouchers. Okay. I will look at that.
Okay, thank you.
It was a transfer, I believe. I think I.
It may be that we needed to borrow it to pay for SRT funds that we are purchasing. We are not drawing now, so that may have been what the transfer was.
So. Connie put together a really nice book. If you'd like to go through it, it's really informative, helps on the budget. I'm glad to give you one.
It's on the.
Is it on here?
Yes, and then I will want to share with you the folder that has the documents, so you can click on the links. One of them is a list of links that is pretty cool. So,
yeah, it takes you anywhere you want to go with the Wyoming statutes. Give me some of the others that's on there.
It's the administrative rules. I was a business manager for 3 years before I could. I finally said, where do I find these rules? It tells you about transportation rules, SPED rules, graduation requirements, all those things. The rules tells you that's where you can go on that. It goes out to the crew report. It goes out to the CREG report. And just some really cool
things you might want to look up. Yeah. Wyoming statutes. Mm-hmm. Those right there, too.
Wyoming School Boards Associations, mm-hmm. and the new members, Word to the Wise, a lot of really cool information.
Is the legal update on there or the Wyoming?
Yes.
Okay. There is an update on there that you might all want to look at, and it's the legal update that was presented to us at the conference. And of all the ones that you want to look at, I would strongly suggest going there. It looks like there's, 177 pages, but it's real fast. And it goes through all the legal questions that are trending in Wyoming. So it's worth your time.
And even to new board members, the law that you have to live by as a school board member is Statute 21-3-110. Got a few minutes at night, and you want to read through it, it's a good thing to read through.
It is. Tell again where they can find these links.
I'm going to send you a link, and it's going to go to that page, and then you can click on it.
Okay.
So she created a document that we shared and we'll share with all of you that has all these links on it. So I would just keep it somewhere where you can find it. And so it'll be a resource. So just as a clarification, too, as Connie's talking about it, and I know this is how it gets confusing, but in our federal grants, it's school year 2023. So it's school year 22-23, but in our federal grant system, or when we talk in the school business world or the school language year, when we talk 23, we're really talking 22-23. So I know that you're going to print 22, but I don't want you... I'm going to be saying some things for this year's grant. It's referenced in our federal grant system as 2023, even though we're not there yet, which really means it's 22-23. So... that's how confusing GMS is and some of this terminology. So great question, Dave, as we ask those. But you're going to hear some of that, hey, how are we doing this with 2023 when we're not even there yet? Well, we're close to being there yet. Well, we've been doing it since for quite a while because that's the grant we got approved this summer. So every system is a little bit different, and so don't be afraid to ask questions to clarify if we're misinforming, okay?
We'll be there at the next meeting, though.
We should be. Yes, we should.
Okay, Rec Board, we don't have a report for that, and we'll be assigning someone to that committee. BOCES, just it was a real fast, I think the meeting was 20 minutes long. We had it down in Casper at the Wyoming School Board. So nothing new to report there, it's just their regular business. BOCES.
We did not have a report, so nothing to report.
Okay. That leads us into leadership governance, and there's a ton. And I'm not going to go through and read all of it. You can see the first one is board member commitment. There is our primary responsibilities, and we are to act in the best interest of all students in the district, and I think that's really important. We're not here for this group or this group. We are here for all students, and I feel like this board does a really good job of that, keeping their focus of all students. You can see through your jobs, through leadership governance, what they are, and a lot of times what they are not. I'm going to go through this rather quickly. You know, Mr. Oski, would it be possible in a work session to maybe really go through these? Because there's a lot of them. There's two, four, there's six of them right now, especially the commitment and all.
So, with the direction of the board, if we can make that a work session.
It doesn't only have to be.
But we can review some of those, absolutely. So we can take time at the beginning of our work session to review these and have a little more in-depth discussion if you want to. That kind of aligns with the superintendent's evaluation and the board's self-evaluation is we need to take a look at some of these. So whoever those individuals are that volunteer for that committee, those could be some reports they bring back to the board, too.
And if you notice at 1.2, it's the board member code of conduct, acting in an ethical and lawful manner. Reframe, we are not individuals. We represent the board, not ourselves. Of course, confidentiality when we go into executive session. Conflict of interest. And sometimes, you know, we get upset with each other and we refrain publicly from expressing negative judgments about fellow board members, the superintendent, or staff members. Any such expressions should only be made when the board is in executive session. And that's even when somebody comes up to you. You know, that could be a tough situation. Violation, we hope this never goes this far. Of course, it would always be between the board member and the board chair first. Discussion in executive session and public censure, and I don't believe in all my years. Have we ever had one?
Not that I'm
aware. 1.5 are my responsibility as board chair. Leadership training sessions. I think you have heard that we go, Lynette and I go to one once a month with Kevin Mitchell and Brian Farmer. We've also went to the Wyoming School Board Association, and I'll go ahead. That's a 5-hour Zoom meeting that they do from board chairs. I'll do that one again just because it's great for refresher. Board committees, we will be doing that in our action items. So I hope you've all had a chance to look over some of those committees and what you would like to be a member of. I went over this rather quickly, but if we can do this maybe in a work session, just take 15, 20 minutes, I would appreciate it.
Okay.
That leads us into the consent agenda. May I have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
May I have a second?
I'll second it.
Discussion. I would like to make one recognition here, and that's I saw where Dennis Zizas is retiring as of March 1st. Is that right, Mr. Roski?
March 6th.
And I would just like to say, you know, as athletic director, I worked very closely with Mr. Zizas for many years. I felt like we had a good relationship. I could call him at any time, and he would help me. There were some times he had to say no to me, and that was kind of hard to take, but I understood his position as well, and he did a lot of good things for this district, and I really appreciate Mr. Zizas, and I just wish him well in his retirement, which I'm sure retirement's not really in his vocabulary. He's just going to change his journey. So,
Jan, the other thing I would say about employment is Linda Nielsen, a longtime employee at the school district, her husband passed away, and so if you see her, please give her your condolences.
As a matter of fact, I will be reading the obituary and speaking at his funeral on Friday. So he was my bus driver for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles. Mr. Nielsen was my bus driver, and I always told my teams, you will treat him like he is a king, Mr. Nielsen, because he treated us like queens. And he will be missed. He was just a good guy. He's a great guy. So thank you for that.
So the funeral is Friday, and there's viewings on Thursday. So
right. Friday at 2.
Yep.
All right. All those in favor of the consent agenda, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passed. Okay, a lot of action items here. Let me get to where we are. These are our first readings. May I have a motion?
No, it's the second reading.
Oh, excuse me, I have it backwards. Nope, I'm up there. Action item, second reading, right here. May I have a motion to approve policy DLA, which is our payday schedules?
I'll make a motion to approve policy DLA payday schedules.
Discussion, this has to do only with just changing the day, correct?
Yes.
Pretty straightforward.
Yep, only one word change in there, one.
Exactly.
Yep.
All those in favor of approving the above policy, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passed. May I have a motion to approve policy IDA, temporary virtual education?
I'll make a motion to approve IDA, temporary virtual education policy.
I'll second it.
Discussion.
And discussion is, for me, Jan, is this, correct me if I'm wrong, Charles, this came from the Wyoming School Board Association. We did not have a policy in the past, and this is a new policy that they are recommending we have.
This is by state statute.
State statute. There you go. Thank you.
Virtual education has changed. So COVID protocols and all those rules have changed. So in order for us to provide any type of virtual schooling, this is one of our options. And because we don't have a virtual school anymore, so with your approval tonight, we'll make anything we do the next 2 days official. So I would strongly ask or encourage you to approve this tonight.
And this is only for emergencies, not for
This is absolutely so. There's certain protocol under here in order for us to provide virtual schooling. Okay.
Any other discussion? All those in favor of accepting, of approving policy IDA, temporary virtual education, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passed. Now, these are our first reading. Some of these are rather lengthy, so may I have a motion to approve policy JFABB, admissions of exchange students. We'll make a motion. Thank you. May I have a second?
I will second that.
Okay, discussion.
So, Jan, my discussion is are we changing this to five students now because...
I don't know. That was my question.
Yeah, I'm not sure why we want to change it. Charles, do you know?
So... this came through the committee, and your recommendation, whether you want to do, it was four, now it's five, three students maybe from a single sponsor. This was just wording to kind of make it maybe a little more consistent and equitable, especially now that other organizations are going to want to bring foreign exchange students to it. So you as a board, after if you approve the first reading, can give recommendations to go back to the committee if you would like to change that wording or set the number different.
Yeah, I was just curious if they had what the reason behind upping it one student was.
I think what we talked about, there's more than one organization. There's potentially two or three. There's four. We've had already up to five.
Yeah.
We've already had five. So part of that discussion is we've allowed up to this already. So if that was the number, really no real... reason why to come up with five other than we've already had five.
Where did we already have five?
Just
because it was in policy of four, so where did we have
five? Isn't that
we've had
it
in KC, we've had
we got five this year. I've got you.
We have a policy, and this is a policy, of course, and then we had to make an exception to the policy to it.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
Yeah.
And I think we had it at two from one agency, and we ended up getting three kiddos from the same agency, and we had to approve that. I think that was in May or June or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, any other discussion?
I would just ask that the representatives from the board that come to the committee, we can take this back. It's Wednesday, right,
mm-hmm.
Heidi, that our policy committee's meeting again?
Is it this Wednesday?
Yes.
Yep. Depending on weather.
This was okay.
That those suggestions come to the committee, please.
Okay. So on first reading, all those in favor of policy JFABB, admission of exchange students, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. On first reading, motion passed. May I have a motion to approve policy IJ, is it IJH?
IJL.
Okay, L. I can't read my own writing. Library material selection and adoption.
So moved.
You have a second? Discussion.
So my discussion, Jan, is it says recommendations for purchases may involve administrators, and I think that word should be will involve administrators.
So why was that taken out?
It never did say, that's just the word they put in there, but like I say, I would like to see may change to will. And we can talk to the policy committee and ask them if they would do that. It only makes sense to me.
Okay. I agree with that. Was that word added, Mr. Oski, or was it...
So I wasn't at this meeting, but when we changed that wording, recommending for purchases will involve administrators, teachers, students, district personnel, and stakeholders, I'm assuming it was depending on what we're looking at to purchase and what that looks like. So I would have to take that back to committee and ask, but we can have that word.
And so all the deleted parts are under another.
So unless Craig, you remember.
Okay.
Well, I'm trying to recall it. And I think if you take the word may out, it kind of implies that all of those people will be involved. And so it doesn't necessarily have to involve every single group that's represented there, but it'll be a representative group. Yeah. Does that make sense? I think that was the discussion that we had.
So, Craig, I'm not seeing what groups are involved in.
Well, it says may involve administrators, teachers, students, district personnel, and stakeholders. And we added stakeholders instead of community persons.
Gotcha.
So I think that was the intent of may instead of will.
Because depending upon what you're purchasing, is going to depend upon the group used.
No. So,
you would like to have it say will involve administrators, teachers, and students, right. and may involve district personnel.
So for reference, anything that's purchased in my library at Cloud Peak,
I would like to have.
I'm
have
going
say
to approve that that requisition at some level, and so it doesn't even come to the business office unless the building principal approves that. So
I think we could change that a little bit and make that policy just a tick better.
Yeah, I agree.
So we vote on it. All those in favor of approving policy IJL, library materials, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. So you're going to approve the policy as written.
But we're going to take it back.
We're going to revisit it, and then on the next reading, these guys are going to talk about it, was my understanding, because they can change it from the second to the first reading.
So the recommendation, what I heard from the board, is we'll take it back to committee for review.
So we shouldn't even vote on it, correct?
No, we should vote on it.
Should vote.
And then if there's changes, they can fix that.
Yeah,
they can change it.
So we go ahead and approve it, though?
Yes.
Approves.
Okay.
With notes.
All right, let's do this one more time. May I have a motion to approve policy? IJL, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passed on first reading with the exception. See, I thought if you made any changes in the policy, you would say no.
No, you don't have to. You could say, I'm going to approve the policy with these changes.
As
but we talked about it, and they're going to make the changes.
So you can just say,
if you don't change it, then I probably wouldn't vote on
say,
the first reading.
Okay.
You approve this first reading with recommendations to go back to the committee. I mean, if we want to clear the language up, we can put that in there.
Got it. Okay, now I have a motion to approve policy IJLA, procedures to challenge instructional library materials. May I have a second, please?
Second.
Discussion? I have one. Why did we decrease to only two community members? We had three. Were you just thinking you couldn't get two, or...?
I think they wanted to make it equitable to the staff members that they have, and it was difficult to get three when we tried it on the previous.
I can see being equitable to staff members.
So, Jan, when I look at it, it said the complainant will be notified of the review committee's decision within 15 working days of the filing of the complaint along with the reasons thereof. So, to me, that's too long. I don't know why somebody needs to wait 3 weeks to get a decision on this. Is there a reason it's that long? Does anybody know?
So when you have 3 weeks, that depends on whether there's Christmas or there's
well,
a
it says 15 working days.
15 working days. So in that process is just giving the window of getting people together who's here, being able to answer some of the questions. So the complaint will be notified of the review committee's decision. So to get a committee together and make a decision within 15 working days, I'm going to be honest, that's going to be hard, especially when you're asking community members. So it's kind of a process that as long as we're communicating with them that we're moving forward or reading a book, it just kind of gives us a little bit of leeway to get people together and do it the right way. So that's part of the reason why it's a 15 working days. I can tell you, it was a struggle to get the last one through, and it was not within a 15-day period, just because getting people to commit with schedules once something comes to the table. So It doesn't mean that we're not addressing it, but getting a committee together to read the book and have a discussion, that's still a pretty short window of time.
I think reading the book really could push it to 15 days, especially if it's a big book.
Yeah. And I just looked at Janice. You know, basically it's 3 weeks. 3 weeks is almost a month, and that seems like a long time for somebody to be waiting for their complaint to come back. They kind of feel like, you know, the school just brushed me off. But as long as you keep communication going with them, I think you're
good. Yeah, I mean, if you read into it, it says 15 working days of filing of the complaint along.
Correct.
Okay, so.
With the reasoning.
Yeah, the committee's decision. I mean, doesn't mean that we're going to say, hey, this is, we're putting a committee together, we're going to still have to communicate that piece, but. Again, you're creating policy, and when you start putting windows of 15 days or 90 days or Title IX, even in some of that, putting a committee together and making a decision in 15 days could be difficult. And I'll just use Christmas as an example. So we get out on the 20th. We get a complaint on the 20th. That means that majority of staff is going to be off. And there'll be working days because we work through the end of the week. Certified staff is off, and then you have Christmas break, and then you got to get them in to make a review. There's just some windows there that could be very tight.
So I read, you know, I read working days as probably school days, and that may not be the interpretation, you know, that you've got.
The definition of a working
day
is the office. We would be in office at a district level, and we're in through the rest of the week.
And I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Would we benefit to change that to school days so that we could avoid the Christmas break stumbling block?
Could be a good suggestion.
Sorry.
Could you even use something just like a term of reasonable amount of time because of situations like that? That, I mean, and like the chairman said that I'm a slow reader. And if you get a big Harry Potter thick book, I'm out.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know. Do you have to legally put a day, put a time limit on?
I think there should be some sort of limit, because if you leave it hanging for so long, then it just gets lost.
Also, so gives assurance to the complaint.
How about if the board, so we can move on, if you will approve that with allowing me to take it to our district attorney, because this is policy and this is what will get held against, what is reasonable wording for this amount of time.
Okay. Sounds good.
Anything short of 90 days, right?
Okay, may I have a motion to approve policy IJLA?
We have the motion. I think we just need to vote.
Okay. All those in favor of approving policy IJLA, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. And you will take it back to just a few words, right, Mr. Austin?
We will review all recommendations made by the board with all policies under first reading. Okay. Because I'm sure Heidi's taking great notes.
Have we finished all the policies now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
And I would hope the policy committee, remember, keeps us to three. All right, we're to early graduation, correct?
So, Jen, would you like a motion to approve everyone or to approve individually or
no,
by
we're
school?
No, we're going to do it as a group.
Okay.
We're going to do it as a group.
That's every day. Come on.
So I would make a motion to approve the early graduates at Buffalo High School, who include Kate Markwick, Katie Williams, Kayla Moses, and the early graduates at New West Alternative School, Stephen Dent and Angelina Corden.
The reason I had the early graduations for five JCSD1 seniors who have met the requirements for graduation. A little bit.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
One of those students, you should have received some information. One of those students will not be an early graduate. Kate Markwood will not.
Okay, we did not receive anything, but I see his name is not highlighted.
Yeah,
so can we strike the motion?
Sorry.
And
I'll do the four. May I have a motion to approve early graduation for four JCSD1 seniors who have met the requirements for graduation?
Point of order, we had a motion on the floor.
We may have to vote it down and redo it.
Well, I think we can kill it with lack of second, unless...
Yes. No, we had a second. We had a second.
So we need to vote on it.
Yeah, then we need to take that one down and correct it.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, let's go back to the first one.
First motion.
All those in favor of the early graduations, 5 for JCSD 1, signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Now may I have a motion to approve early graduation for 4 JCSD 1 seniors who have met the requirements for graduation.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passed. Motion to approve the district's annual audit for, is this for the, now I'm going to ask, is this for the 22-23 or 20... 21-22
school year. Yep. I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
I think we had all of our discussion, didn't I?
We should have.
All right. All those in favor to approve the district's annual audit, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Annual audit passed. Thank you. Okay, a motion to approve the JCSD 1 school board meeting calendar for the 2023 school year. Not really school year, but year.
So moved.
We have a second, please?
Second.
Discussion. The only one I saw, I don't know when, remember when we had Fair Week and we had a meeting right on that Monday at Fair Week? That was the only one I saw.
So we're going to be okay there, I think, when I look at August. We have our meeting the 14th, and the fair is usually the last couple days of July and the first week in August.
So we should be there.
Okay. The World Fair of Johnson County, we're okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So all those in favor of approving the calendar for the JCSB1 board meetings? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, folks, that's when we meet. And always remember, our work sessions are the Wednesday before the board meeting. And those will start at 5:15. Our board members, our board meetings start at 6 o'clock. All right. Now, let's before we make the motion, we need to decide committees. And then we will vote on those all at once. Am I right? Okay. I hope you all had a chance to look at some of these, and people who are absent will be put on many committees.
Why don't the ones that were absent were always put on the committees? Nobody else wanted it.
And anytime you'd like to say, hey, I want to be a member, that just let us know. The BOCES committee, that is something that I have done. They meet once a month. And it's the facility over in Gillette. I don't mind doing it again. I'm just kind of, I'll be honest with you, getting my feet and understanding what's going on. So I don't mind doing that once again. I think that would be, probably next year somebody else might want to take it over, because it really is interesting in how they run their facility. BOCES. Mr. Bellis.
And I'm happy to do it again, but I'll tell you guys, you're not going to upset me if somebody else would like to do it. I'm kind of like Jan. I've got my feet wet. I kind of understand what's going on. I'm getting to know the people. I'd gladly do it again, but if somebody else wants to, you will not hurt my feelings.
I think you're good, unless we will put Kristen on there. Or
yeah, there you go. Yeah.
It'll be a new adventure, because we are going to a new BOCES, so there is some, this adventure will be new for all of us, all right?
And I think it would be a good idea, since you have some history with it. The Rec Board, that was Mr. Moon.
I would love to do that.
Great. Anybody else?
Do we need more than one?
No, we can only have one.
Okay.
Deliberations Committee. What is this?
I got it.
Okay. Gotcha.
They meet basically in March and April, correct, Charles?
Yeah, so the process to start looking at salaries and budgets and things of that nature. So,
and that committee could have more than two.
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying. We can have at least, actually, as many as four.
Yeah.
But it would be really nice to have a new person on there.
I'd be happy to work on deliberations.
Great. Lynette, are you good with staying there?
I'd be happy with staying.
Kristen's not on the phone, I don't think.
She said she'd be good. She said she'll be on anyone that we decide to put her on.
That's brave of her.
That's staff deliberations. That's even a volunteer.
The Joint Power Fuel Board Committee. Mr. Bellish, you're on there.
I'm happy to do it again. It doesn't require a lot, but there again, if somebody else would like to.
What does it do?
What do we do? We basically approve the fuel that we buy because we buy it from a supplier, so we look at the bids that are presented to us and approve the bid.
Do you get a new bid every year? New bids every
year? Not necessarily. This year we went with, correct me, Charles, I believe it was Homax again. They were the provider.
You extended the contract.
Thank you. That's great wording.
And who is all on this fuel board committee? Is it you?
So you have the transportation director, which if you're going to take that position, Dennis had been on it in the past. You have Les Work City Foreman, and forgive me, you've got a guy from the Highway Department. There's about five of us, Chief.
Okay, thank you. So you'd like to stay with that one?
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. Buffalo High School Development Fund Committee, that's usually the chairperson, so I will stay with that one.
And just so everybody knows, that's basically a scholarship committee.
Right. Last year we gave three, Mr. Oski? Mr. Oski's on that too. Mrs. Novotny is the chairperson of that committee. And it's a fun. Because you meet just a couple of times and you interview students, so I enjoy it. Sheridan College County Advisory Committee.
Does that committee?
So this is something just as a board representative. So they really took the board rep off. So it's myself or board member who can't make it. So somebody that could fill in for me under representation of the district or Mr. Miller. So. It's just kind of a fill-in position with the Sheridan Johnson County Board.
So we should put someone on there just in case Charles can't go.
Well,
we do. Don't we have Mr. Brown on there?
Yeah.
Okay. Is everybody good with just leaving him on there? Or should we put somebody else?
If he doesn't like it, I will fill in.
I don't know if he has time to do that with his schedule.
Okay.
So it might be better if Travis would
Travis,
like to
you're on. District Advisory Committee. Right now we have Vice Chair Fox and Mrs. Verplanke. You meet twice a year to share grant, budget, and district information with community stakeholders and staff.
Will that be on your board?
It doesn't matter to me. I'm on a lot of committees that aren't even listed here. So if somebody wants to be a part of that, they're welcome to do it, or I can keep doing it. I don't care.
And I don't want to forget about Casey. I don't know if she said anything to anybody that she'd like to be on something. So I just don't want to forget about her.
I'm glad you brought
that. She'd do it. She'll take my spot. Marshall.
Okay.
Are you good to be on?
Yeah.
You know.
So it's going to be Marcia and Lynette, correct, on that committee? Okay. So you got the call.
We'll put her on
next.
Yeah, we're done at dinner, so we're going to.
Do you want to stay?
Okay.
Good. Yeah. All right.
We'll be explosive.
The policy committee. We can have as many as four on there. Not more than four.
Had three in the past, so it wasn't overwhelming.
Right. But what happens is, with the way life is, a lot of those can't make it. So Mrs. McCorkle, she will no longer be on there.
I would take that spot if everybody's okay with that.
Great. And I think that's one that Casey would love to be on. I can just hear her saying that.
Well, Dave.
Lynette has been on it as well.
I stepped in just at the end.
You stepped in for who?
No, I just
She didn't. She requested to come. She had some concerns. I mean, any board member can do the same if there's a policy and you want to come to the meeting. We just have to make sure we're under our amounts.
I say it's good to have at least three because, like I say, life happens. The last time both Lynette and I were gone to the conference in Casper, so... And Mr. Oski, you're on that too as well, right?
It's a life term, so...
okay, good. So I have Travis, Casey, and myself. Sickly blank, bank.
I don't mind that one. I mean, usually you don't meet that often, except last year we had an excessive amount. But it doesn't take long. I'm right close by because they're here. And Bronwyn does a nice job of scheduling them either before or after, before school starts or after.
Well, and you kind of understand all the policies now. And okay.
So I would ask that Jody stay on this because she's been through the changes to see how they kind of work, so I appreciate you staying on that.
Okay, great. ESSER 3, Vice Chair is Vice Chair Fox is on there, and Mr. Bellis.
And we could certainly have another person on there because we have a lot of community stakeholders that are on that committee.
We do. And so after we get through the procurement and we kind of get things lined out, we will definitely have to have another ESSER 3 meeting. To kind of talk about what that budgeting process looks like.
So if somebody else would like to be on there, just say yay.
What about Mrs. Rodriguez?
Okay, we have her on the policy committee as well. Did you get that one?
Mm-hmm. Or Mr. Brown?
Kristen.
Sure, but... yeah, and I think Randy's schedule is tough, so... I think is he on there or she declined?
Well, let's put Randy on there because they only meet once or twice a year.
So,
what about
can we... Because Kristen for KC would be a good representation on the ESSER 3 funds.
What's that? Superintendent evaluation. This is something new. How many did we want on there, Ms. Roski? Two, three?
Well, superintendent evaluation and board. Self-evaluation. So it would be nice to have three or four.
Who is this committee?
So, Jen, I just want to speak to that. Do we need another committee to do that? Because, honestly, every board member should be on that committee.
Well, this is something that Mr. Oski has presented that he would like to have. So,
the committee is always going to present back to the board, and it's going to allow me to do some work with the committee so that we can present it to you as a board of trustees and kind of move forward. So it's similar to the other committees. Is this committee and the intent of this committee is to take feedback from you guys and bring it to you as a board as a whole and approve that. But if we want to do it as a whole board, then we probably need to schedule some work sessions to kind of have some discussion of what that looks like.
So it'll only be board members and you, right? No community members? Okay.
Now, this is the one where we're trying to create an emergency manual. You vanish off the world and we've got to have a policy for somebody to step in.
So this is an evaluation system. So this is, you're creating, first of all, accreditation's coming up. It's similar to what we're doing with teacher evaluations. We're creating a principal evaluation. You've adopted the School Boards Association. So in that, you'll notice that I think I handed out, there are areas that we still have not developed. We have not developed protocol and procedures for the evaluation, when and how and what the rubrics is. So this committee would be going through that and aligning leadership governance to the superintendent's evaluation so that we can hand over to the state with accreditation an actual superintendent's evaluation system document that outlines what your protocol as a board of trustees, what the superintendent's responsibility. And then also creating a self-evaluation system that we can submit to say, you as a board of trustees do a self-evaluation
and documentation of that to present for accreditation. So it just kind of all levels, but it is a document that states this is what you do for the evaluation. Not the evaluation tool, you've already adopted that, but what is the protocol? When do you do goals? When do you evaluate the superintendent? When do you set his... It goes through that, but then it gives you as a board member what standard you're rating and then what that rubric is. Why do you give them a 1 or why do you give them a 4? So that's that evidence piece that kind of aligns to how you evaluate people.
Okay. And just thinking back, one of the sessions I attended down in Casper was the board chair from Cheyenne, and she strongly recommended doing a committee when it came to organizing the evaluation. Actually, she did it all by herself, and she said, what? That was terrible. So she strongly recommended a committee. So
why would she recommend a committee and not just a board?
Well, they have a 9-person board like we do, and it would just streamline. And again, it isn't. They're not doing policy. They're going to just come back and report to you, and you give your feedback. And
I just wonder why we couldn't do that in a work session as a whole board. Just because I feel like that the evaluation is one of the few things that this board is required to do. But I also know that's 9 personalities coming together. But we still have to come to a consensus in the end anyway. So I just, and I may be way off, maybe we don't want to have everybody involved, but I feel like maybe that's the whole board thing.
So maybe let's try a whole board, and we find that we're getting bogged down, we'll go and say, hey, let's do this committee. Ms. Drosky?
Yeah, that's fine. It's a lot of work, and it's not going to be done in an hour setting, so we'll need to spend some time, and I'll probably want to do it through Google Docs and share it out to you and then start giving comments so that we can start tweaking things so that we can speed up that process with the board.
When you say time, now I'm going to go back on that. Because there's so many other things going on and we meet and our work sessions can get kind of lengthy. Do you think, how much time are you saying we're going to commit to this?
Putting
it together, how long?
The 70-page document, which I cut down, took months for me to come up with a rough draft in the previous district, which had to be approved by the state. So, I'm talking 6 months because there wasn't a lot of input, so you just kept bringing a chunk at a time. So a majority of the work is already done, but I would probably section it off, hey, do you like this standard and rubrics? And what do you want to tweak? But, you can have me do it. I would have to find the time to do it, but you as a board, we got to take our leadership governance and align it or parallel it to the evaluation. So that's where a lot of the wordsmithing and those things will take place. So, we could just assign it virtually and take a look at that, but to really go through the whole thing, we probably need at least a half a day to look at it as a board and kind of move forward. My idea of a committee is to get all the tedious stuff out of the way so then we come to you as a board and then you as a board have input, then we can kind of move forward. But it's however the board wants to move forward, and especially with your own self-evaluation. I do not feel comfortable at all handing you your own self-evaluation of how you're going to evaluate yourselves. So we can do that in a different format too. So there's just a lot of little things that we can talk about, but I'll talk with Jan as the chairman and maybe we can kind of come up with a plan. So we really don't need a committee as of today, but by fall of 23, we do have to have something that we can present to the state for accreditation.
So we need to work on this because we say, well, that's a long time. No, it's not.
Jen, I've been saying for 18 months that accreditation is coming in the fall of 23.
It's here.
And it has to be done July 1st. And so this is just one of multiple pieces of evidence that have to be presented to this accreditation team. But however, this is the reflection piece of you as a board. okay, the principals are putting together data, we're all putting together each components of this, but that's another whole work session of what does accreditation look like and this peer review and what's going to be your responsibility as a board of trustees. And at some point in time, you're probably going to have to assign somebody to come talk, which most of the time it's the chair and vice chair. So, and what that accreditation looks like. So it probably wouldn't hurt to sit down and have at least one work session to kind of explain what that peer review and accreditation looks like. Because it is at a district level.
Maybe we should do a committee.
To make sure I'm following this right, we've adopted a skeleton. We have an idea from the state school board association.
And from Mr.
Oster. And from Mr. Oster. So we've got a skeleton that we've already linked to. Now we just got to go flesh out the details. We write the test and then bring it back and the board...
So they have a superintendent evaluation that we've used in the past.
But we don't.
It's seven domains long. You're required to do domain one. You don't have to do the others. You can. So that's what they presently have in place for us.
And we did not... I'm not going to say wait. I don't think it's very valuable to our superintendent.
Yeah, it's not helping us grow. Then it's,
no,
we got to do something more.
So
we're trying to come to something that has some goals and meat to it.
I want to be able to walk away and be able to say, you as a board of trustees, when a new board member comes on, they can say, this is what standard one is, and this is the evidence you should be looking for with the superintendent. These are evidence pieces that you should be asking for to give you as a tool as an evaluator. So whether you're still on the board in 5 years or 20 years, you have an evaluation tool. And you have seven standards. Standard one has to be evaluated at the year, but the other standards over a period of time also have to be met within a five-year period of time. So in that 70-page document, you've seen year one, but we have to go through that. That's an old one. So starting in 22-23, you're going to do standard one and standard two. And then the next year, you're going to do standard one and standard three. And so there's evidence about evaluations that you shouldn't do. You can't do all the standards at one time. Then you set the goals too high. And are they reoccurring goals? Because, you know, some goals might take 5 years to get through the process. So it's really a manual to help you, but also who's ever sitting in my position to say, hey, this is what the board is looking at.
Oh, my God.
And then... it's a rubric, a rating rubric. So what is a four? What is a three? What is a two? And what is a one? So if you don't have that, you will have nine different opinions of what a one is, a two, a three, and a four, which then really doesn't help the person in this position because it comes down to the common word is based on opinion and not facts. And we want to stay at, we want an evaluation system to be a growth model that's based on this is what we see and this is where we'd like you to be and help you grow.
Objective, right? And not subjective. I still
seems like
going back
to work.
I think committee should do it.
It's very similar
to supportive of that.
What's that?
I'm a little more supportive of that committee now.
Thank you, Drew.
So the principals right now are developing their own two in chunks. So we're chunking it out and we're doing the same thing. They get to be a part of the process. So the exciting thing about it is we work as a committee, then we come back to you as a board of trustees, and then we work through it. And then there's ownership in it, right?
All right. Who would like to be on this committee? And I will say I will be on that committee.
I will be on that
committee. I'm happy to get in on this. I got a lot to learn anyway.
Great. Marcia, she was just chomping at the bit.
Oh,
to get on
I
too.
Thought about it really hard, actually.
We can have four.
Yeah, you can have four.
You'll go, Kristen. She wanted on there.
I can be the fill-in. I like that. I'll be a backup. Mm-hmm.
Jody, did you say you wanted on? You want to be on?
I do this one.
Are you going to be that 20-year person he's talking about?
No.
Guess not. No. All right. So now that we have our committee set, may I have a motion to approve the committees for the 2023 year as listed.
So moved.
May I have a second?
Sure, I'll second.
All those in favor for the board committees, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Now remember, you're on these. Any opposed? Opposed, same sign. Motion passed. All right, the next one is our rec board. May I have a motion to approve the appointment of the three members to the rec board? They have all submitted the required letters of interest, Lisa Griffith, George Mathis, and Mike Miller. May I have a motion?
So moved.
May I have a second, please?
I'll second it.
Discussion? No discussion? All those in favor of the three board members, and as a matter of fact, they are all board members. They have been on it. Signified by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We have our rec board members. And I appreciate those three people being on the rec board again. May I have a motion to extend the contract service for 90 days so the district may review and evaluate current procedures?
I'll move that.
I'll second it.
Discussion?
Discussion is, I just wish you'd add in your motion that it's to January 31st of 2023.
You know, I thought about it, but then I thought, is it 90 days?
So, John, what did you want, 90 days or to the end of January?
End of January is the 90 day of the contracts.
Oh, when the contracts expire. There you go.
October 31st.
Yep. So
okay, I'm lost. Tell me again.
So the contracts expired whenever, but 90 days is January 31st.
I thought 90 days from now. That's where I was.
That's when the contract expires. So we need to vote that down. Or you could add to that motion because we haven't.
But we don't want it for 90 days. It's already been 90 days.
90 days or until January 31st. Yeah, or you can say 90 days after the contracts expired, which will be January 31st.
Yeah, there you go.
State your motion, please. Or do I have to state it again?
I'll do it. So I'll make a motion to extend.
Do we have to vote that one down?
You need to vote first.
Yeah, we've got to strike my erroneously stated motion first.
Okay, and may I have a motion to extend the contract service for 90 days?
We got to vote down the one I said wrong.
Correct.
I thought I said.
Well,
okay.
At any rate, we need to vote down that first one and then get it right.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion stated, signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
All right. May I have a motion to extend?
I'll make a motion to extend the contract services with the current contractors for 90 days after their contract, which will be January 31st of 2023.
Opposed, stated.
I second it.
Discussion. Again, when did these contracts end?
October 31st, 22.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion stated, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passed. Okay. May I have a motion to approve the safe return to school plan?
I'll second it.
Discussion. This is just something we have to do how often?
We'll do this until ESSER funds are gone.
I got a question on it. When I read it, is it in place just so when something happens with COVID,
yes.
If it changes, it's not something that we're practicing right now necessarily?
It's not what we're practicing. It's what... So I've asked the nurses to review it at the beginning of the year to align to CDC guidelines. We'll do it again at the end of the summer, but we just have to have it in front of you as a board of trustees. If COVID was to come back, that is our plan.
Okay.
Good question.
The original question is we will, every periodically, twice a year, we will bring it back to the board because there's an application that we have to submit that says it's in front of you as a board of trustees that you looked at it.
Okay, all those in favor to approve the safe return to school plan, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passed. May I have a motion to approve the...
I'll make a motion
well,
to...
Well, do you want the AARP or...
I'm going to say
yes.
What it is. I'm going to make a motion to approve the AARP implementation plan, which stands for American Rescue Plan.
I'll second it.
Which is CERT 3.
Okay, so this plan is to show how our ESSER funds are distributed, correct?
So, again, part of ESSER requirements is to have a plan for the public, and what our intent was to use those funds for. So, once we go through this procurement process and we look at our funding, we will come back and revisit that
and adjust the funds according to how we've expended them. Okay.
Any questions?
We have a motion. We have a second, I think.
Discussion? Okay. All those in favor to approve the ARP implementation plan, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passed.
So on a side note, as a Board of Trustees, we will be revisiting the COVID leave plan for the next semester in January, which is funded through the Wyoming Department of Health. So this gets confusing, but we do have a grant that we got accepted for leave related to COVID, which will be another plan that we'll reapprove in January. Okay.
Okay, thank you. All right, folks, that's a lot of action items. We usually don't have that many, but another lot. Well done. So may I have a motion to enter into executive session for personnel and legal issues per Wyoming Statute 16-4-405?
So moved.
Where are you guys going?
Nowhere.
Can't imagine.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thanks, everybody.
Don't tear the door down as you're going out.
I'm trying to clear the room.
Thank you all for coming. And again, thank you for a long Wednesday night.
Right now.